and Toby.
All right, welcome to Cumtown.
Have you got
Matt, okay. Matt McDonald?
Be honest, have you guys listened to it yet?
No.
I'm going to. I will, but yeah.
I feel like I should every time he says something, and I don't.
I have. I've listened to a decent amount.
Is it funny?
I don't totally get it. Like, I get it. They're just cutting. It's just a stream of conscious, like, just jokes, one after the other. There's nothing. Yeah, it's just like almost anything goes. And so there's some parts that are will hit, and it's kind of funny, but it goes there. They do go as far as you can go with everything.
Is the art form framing it so that they create such a wild environment that the thing that sounds so crazy, it makes you know how to not take it wrong? Like, that's the art form, is just creating,
I guess,
enough mayhem that it can be done.
Like the episode I was like, okay, I'm going to listen to this. And it started with them going, hey, we're two nerds that never got laid in high school. And then they start going, we will definitely rape. And then one of us will definitely do a mass crime. And that's the very first thing you hear. And so I'm like, wow. They're just immediately like right in it, in your face. But all their fans know, right? Yeah, I guess they get it. Yeah. But I mean, it's just comedians trying to say the craziest thing they can think of.
I think I think a lot of those shows, sometimes they think, you know, y'all started your podcast, you wanted to make sure the podcast was entertaining. It was like your thing you're going to try to do. I think some of the comedians just start them as just a way to talk, right?
Yeah.
Just to get ideas out and not caring about the show like that. Bill Burr's, the way he does, he just gets on there and talks. I think Tim Dillon started like that until Tim realized now the podcast is bigger than his stand-up. So now he's to treat it like a
show.
It
was funny. I was listening to Tim Dillon, the latest episode. He had Whitney Webb on there.
Yeah,
you don't know who she is? Like,
I've heard her on there before.
Yeah, she's like a journalist and is pushing back against some of the stuff, some of the norms and the government.
Oh, she's like a maverick.
Yeah, like a maverick. Yeah. Exactly, perfect description. And she got kicked off Patreon because I might try and get her on the podcast. She got kicked off Patreon because of something that somebody. A paper that she put on her page that somebody else wrote on her page, not on Patreon's page. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even on the page, her Patreon page, or it was on her personal website. Somebody else wrote something and there was a link to it. And it was, you know, it was about like they're trying to say she was like a COVID denier or something, or something like that. And so she got kicked off of Patreon, which is how she makes her living. Luckily, she saw it coming, so she had a backup.
Oh, that's crazy.
How do you think that really works? Because it was weird when it started getting to Patreon, you know, because you would think that, oh, we don't do anything. We just do the payment or whatever. But what is the nature of that pressure that they're receiving? Jack Conte, you know, Jack Conte that owns Patreon's an indie musician guy. Y'all know that?
His name's Jack Conte?
Conte.
Oh, Conte.
Golly.
Oh, so I misheard.
Simple mistake.
But you know, he's like an indie musician guy. Like, he was playing in a band doing a thing.
He was in Dog Star with Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. No. What was his band called?
I know the name of that band, and I couldn't tell you three that we've toured with. God, not a one. Nowhere near my tongue to say to you.
But he's essentially an indie rock guy, also just like a Stanford type guy too. But he was in a touring band and Patreon was made for that. And then he tried to launch it with a bunch of friends and thought all the other artists and bands would get on, and they didn't. And they made it public anyway, and then eventually it worked. But he's a person like us. And then started that platform. And it's hard to imagine what would be the pressure. What in what form does he have to then make decisions about climate denial or white supremacists and stuff? Like, how does that, I can't even picture the conversations that he has to have. And why would you ever want to be in any situation remotely like that. Well, like, never start a platform. Why would you right. ever want that to occur to you where you had to even entertain such conversations like that?
I mean, that's the thing that he should never say anything one side or the other. It should just let people be. That's, I mean, no one thinks anybody can do anything. He thinks but the reason he's stepping in there and trying to get rid of her is in his mind, he thinks he's doing the right thing.
Right. That's what I'm
saying. This lady's going to lead people astray. But the deeper thing there is that means he thinks that people are stupid, that no, he is smarter than them. He is better. He must lead. That's what I dislike about this. Nobody seems to think that anybody can think on their own. We have to help them. We have to take this away. We can't say this. We can't do this. I mean, it's outrageous. Like we were talking about the podcast Cumtown. I mean, is that our bastion of freedom that's left? Is that the front line trying to hold? I'm saying it's outrageous, but I mean, what is going to happen? I mean, less and less is going to be able to be said. You're not going to be able to say anything.
People are stupid, but just let them be. Let them be stupid.
Right.
Well,
that's fine.
So real quick, Matt, someone mentioned on here is from the Dresden Dolls.
Remember that band? He was in the Dresden Dolls?
The band was the Dresden Dolls.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that
I remember
band.
That name.
I think it was like Popplemoose or something like that.
Well, somebody in Pillar wrote Dresden band, but Dolls, but something like that. But
It was the Creed.
Creed was his band.
It was the lead singer of Creed.
Scott Stapp.
What if he invented Patreon?
If he did, it would be called, it would be called Scott Stapp's Patreon. Like he presented by, and he had his face
presented
on it.
Presented by Scott Stapp. Yeah,
right. He'd be the title sponsor of his platform.
Well, I was going to say, I think part of the problem with people who get in those positions of power or whatever, everybody wants to know their opinion on a topic. It's like, because I'm one of the first people to admit that I'm like this. I don't really want to do the research. Like I just, no, you know what I'm saying? Like I just want someone to give me what that is an option for whatever topic they're talking about. Right.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, maybe I'll eventually get into the research, but I think it's easier for people, kind of like a pastor. We've talked about this many times. It's easier for people to just accept what's given them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Instead of having to really dig in and, let's talk about that scripture. Let's talk about this. Same thing with any.
You want to offload the blame to the leader. Like you want to know if I consume it, it's not on me. Somebody else takes the fall somewhere. I need to know somebody somewhere is a circuit breaker between me and any blame or ruin. I at least need to have that in my mind. So somehow you become permissive of other people deciding for you. So it's almost as if you get a plausible deniability out of it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to be given two or three options at most to kind of choose from based on like what people's opinions.
But censorship though, you remember
pre-censored.
Remember when it was like on Cheers that sometimes at night they would say ass or bitch or something. You'd be like, the world is getting cooler and cooler all the time. Yeah. You know, it's like, then there's like, okay, they have the explicit tags on records, but I can listen to Offspring's go crazy on the Bad Habit song. Like the world is getting exciting. Oh, did you see what's on HBO now? Oh my gosh. You can see real. So dirty comedy exists. Oh, this is such good news. You know, like that was, it felt to me like as I've been getting older, it's like, oh, we're really finally getting somewhere with everything, you know? Yeah. So then it's like, well, now there's might be many, many more things that I would like that aren't never going to come my way. You know, like I don't think that's not going to continue. So there will be things that could have existed that I probably would have liked that aren't going to exist now. That's the way I see it. Because of the mood overall.
I remember on one show, maybe you guys would remember an example, but that, on like a primetime show, somebody showed their butt.
Uh-huh.
Remember that was like, what? There's nudity on, you know, like a Thursday night show that come on at 9 p.m. They showed a butt on CBS.
Yeah.
I can remember the first time I saw a sex scene on TV and the woman dropped her dress, but it was just a full negligee, you know, like one of those total. So there was nothing, nothing didn't show anything. That was her lingerie, but it was literally just a barely smaller dress that she still had. That was what it was. That's where I started. And I was like, oh my God, immediate boner.
But we just maybe put pendulum swung out to where it was like things got free for a while, and it was like, nah, no, we got to go back to everything's fake.
Right.
And simple, so you can't. Right. I mean, I don't know, like, whoever it is that doesn't want what content, I don't know, I don't care, but it's, you know, we're going to be safer going forward. Not, yeah. We went through a permissive cycle where people were allowed to do stuff, and we didn't like how it went, and we're going to go back to the way it was when you were nine. And before in the 50s or whatever, who knows where right. it's going to be? Where you can't, you just don't do stuff like that. Just don't. Just don't.
Can I bring up a form of entertainment that I was introduced to the other night that I talked to Toby a little bit about? And this felt like a new genre to me. It's called Bad Trip.
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys see that?
The movie.
I went and watched it the day after you recommended it.
So, Matt, you need to watch it. But it's like a real movie. Like there's like a script,
a narrative.
There's a narrative and there's characters, but there's real life pranks just mixed throughout the whole movie.
Like Borat,
kind of, yeah.
Yeah, but a little different.
So it's a mixed of real and staged, yeah. but playing with a boundary there.
Right, mm-hmm. And it was very good. It was very kind of thing. Very funny, like surprisingly funny to me.
It was more developed. Borat was the story wasn't as important. I feel like Bad Trip is like they really worked everything into the story.
Right.
Like you felt like you were really watching a movie play out.
Oh, it just, awesome.
It just happened to have regular people around for crazy shit to happen.
It'd be like if we made an album and we got people on the street to sing on it.
Kind of.
In real time. Yeah. And they were good on it. Enough. You know. Yeah. That's funny. No, but I really
like the characters. You're right, though. Like, I really liked them. I was kind of pulling for them. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were great.
It was really like Dumb and Dumber. It felt like to me they took the Dumb and Dumber script and then said, let's add real people pranks in here. Let's add some, you know, some Jackass elements in this or whatever, Borat. And then you did still kind of get invested in the characters a little bit.
Mm-hmm. My favorite thing about it is that you see how cool some people are. You know,
I know.
Like the guy at the, when he's working at the car wash, the guy that was going to help him get the girl's number or whatever.
Right.
Like he was cool. Like, it's hard. You don't want to give too much away, but
he
gets in a bad situation. And
it's called Bad Habit, the movie.
Bad Trip.
Sorry.
Yeah. You should watch it with Bridget. It's funny.
Yeah, I'll get to that. I would definitely take that recommendation for sure. I tell you what I wanted to talk about tonight. I told Toby I would do it on our next bonus episode, but I just want to do it here. I posed to Toby a thought experiment at the end of the last bonus episode that the BC Club gets, and it's pretty simple. We were talking about pastors and their dongs. So if you have any thoughts on pastors or their dongs or any musings about that, we can do that too, because it was kind of fun. But it seems that the penis size is an important factor in a person's life. Most people with a penis think about it a lot and its length, and it seems to have determinants on their outcomes in life, even from their own mental standpoint of how they look at it and see that. And you'd all agree that it does for you.
Yeah.
Yep.
If you had a smaller penis, you would be actually different. In more ways than simply that.
So wait, you're saying having a penis actually affects you mentally and emotionally?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm saying if you had a different penis, you would be a different person
just having a penis.
If you identify with it and have it, and it is meaningful to anyone who has one, is all I'm saying.
But hold on a second. I mean, are we talking, is the size a sliding scale?
Now, I'm just saying, in your life, if you had a much bigger wiener, you would act different. If you had a much smaller wiener, you would act different.
I couldn't fucking walk. Hell yeah.
So the
big-ass dick. My voice would be like that.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, shit.
It would Hell be yeah. more what, like that.
What is this, a podcast? This is cool as shit.
You wouldn't sound exactly like that, but more so. It would be in that direction.
Yeah.
And it maybe it's not.
You guys got big hogs too? Shit.
And how would you be if you had, like, a, let's just say, much smaller cock. What then? What would?
Well, they say guys overcompensate, so I don't know. Would you be?
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe, oh yeah, confident?
Maybe it's the opposite.
Right.
Maybe the people that if you really were packing it, you might actually be a little more laid back and just self-confident in a different way. If you haven't swallowed one, maybe you project more macho. I don't know. But I'm saying you know that it has effect.
Yes.
And probably, you know, longer, more correlated with positive self-image, at least. As such, and you admitting that it affects you, the simple question is, would you give your son an inch of your dick?
That's the question. Yep. I thought it was gonna be something else. Nope. But that,
just yeah. Like you get it, like he's born, you give up an inch and he gets it, but you have to live without yeah. it and he has it.
You have to give it to him as soon as he's born too.
When he's so born, he gets a deposit of one extra. Yeah, so he will have like let's say a 2 inch. I mean, I don't know, 1 inch difference. Would you sacrifice an inch or right. two, knowing that he fucking had it?
That's like opening an IRA for your kid or something.
Like you take the hit or not.
Oh man.
Like would it help? Like would it help? You could you think you'd think of it like, okay, well, maybe that will help his development.
Yeah,
maybe
but what about like what about Devin has two sons?
Yeah, you gotta give each of them.
Well, it's switching. You don't have to.
Okay.
Only 1 or 2 inches. Two we inches just, gone, then.
I would feel real bad if two one inches. Of them ended up extra big because of that, and the other one's small, and I should have given it to the other one.
Oh, yeah.
That would make me feel real bad.
And would you be more inclined to give him more than so he'd have above average, or if he was deficient, you'd give him some just so that he could get the average? I mean,
maybe. It's just based but on birth size?
I'm just saying, would you sacrifice
I'm just
yours
to get
so
this,
that
wrap
he
my head around this a little bit?
When he comes out of that vagina and you see that dick flopping around.
No, but you can decide before he's born, just is that in your ability to sacrifice for the positive good of him? Would it affect him more positively than you would be able to deal with the negative of? Would
I
you
think so? Because
hook him up.
Because in my late 30s, when I had my boys, well, yeah, something like that, I don't think I cared as much anymore. So right. I probably would have. Yeah. Right?
But if you were 18
if
or
you
something.
You were young, though.
Yeah, you wouldn't. So yeah, you say like, you got your use out of yours enough, like, or you're self confident enough that even if you had a, you know, had to go way down, then right. that would, you would be okay with it.
2 inches would be that would hurt.
It'd be hard.
2 inches is more than you think.
Yeah,
that doesn't sound like much.
I'd be like,
but...
oh, that's more than I thought.
And I mean, and how would you feel and be different as a result of losing 2 inches? Some.
Think so.
You know? Well, it would change a lot of things. It would change your reach for sex. You know, like when you'd have to learn all new sex positions.
It would change things.
You wouldn't have the same reach.
That's true.
I'm serious.
You might like tip over when you walk. You know, you're not. You know, you won't have your balance.
You might need crutches.
And would your wife want you to do it? That puts her in a terrible position. If she says yes, then you really feel low. At that point.
Or good. You're like, if she says, that's fine.
Oh, you can spare a couple.
Yeah. That would make you feel
maybe good. Yeah.
You'd be like, wow, holy shit.
You're like, oh.
Toby's like, what? Oh, you want my massive dick to go down to a big dick? All right. I just have a huge dick now, not a gargantuan dick.
And then I'll just let y'all go ahead and fill in your estimates too. So wait, are you giving an inch or no?
I think I probably would at this point, or at least years ago.
You act like you have. I mean, I'm a good man. I'd have to, obviously.
I mean, I feel like
I love
as
my
an
boy,
honorable
dude.
Person.
I love him.
The right thing to do. I
love my boys.
I try to do for mine. Think about this. This is 18 years from now. All right, from the day your son's born. Listen.
Come in.
Hey, Dad. It's taken me a long time to come up with the courage to say these words, but I know what you did for me. The dad just
hold it together.
I'd do it again.
Fucking do it again. I'll give you three.
I'll cut it off right now for you. Fucking love you.
Use it, son. Use it.
You promise me.
You promise me one thing.
You ain't a day that goes by, you don't do something with that thing.
Don't you dare waste
it. You take care of it.
It's like Saving Private Ryan when Tom Hanks is dying. Earn this.
Earn it. You pull down your pants and earn it. Earn it, son.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy.
Mm. And we we're wagering on pastors, different mega pastors, you know, schlong size, if you have any thoughts. If anybody strike you as big, funny.
Yeah, did y'all have anybody that struck you as
Toby,
big?
Toby made his guess Mark Driscoll's penis.
I would guess relatively smaller for Driscoll.
Well, he's short, maybe close to average, but
you know what I mean?
Stocky seems like.
And he's like that's into a stereotype, UFC and all maybe. That stuff, yeah. You know?
So people with UFC that like UFC, small Johnsons. Is that what you're saying?
small dick UFC
is that
fans.
The claim? You know, small dick UFC fans. Devin says.
Dime a dozen.
You know those. Oh, yeah. I'm going to make sure to put this out for all the UFC people to hear. Somebody's going to challenge me to a fight now. Great.
Obi can never do jujitsu with his gargantuan cock. get in the way when he's rolling on the mat.
I don't know, man. It's all random. I think people have different personalities regardless of it.
Yeah, I don't think you can really necessarily predict that good.
Yeah, right. It's hard to gauge.
There might be a certain stereotype demographic of pastors that we might be able to gauge.
I'm gonna go this direction. I'm gonna say Osteen is big,
large. Mm-hmm. He large.
I'm saying he's pretty large. Big. Like he feels like
he's
got some kind of confidence that ain't just
He's you know. He's still
he's Mark Wahlberg from Boogie Nights. Yeah. He does that end scene where he pulls his Johnson out. He does that before he goes out and preaches a sermon.
Yeah, he's undercompensating still. He's not even really letting it rip.
He kind of looks like he could be a porn star, right?
Yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah. He's got that look.
Got that curly, weird shine to him or something. I don't know.
He is next level, man. I don't think anything bad will ever stick to him. He just plows right along. I mean,
I love watching his show. It's great.
Who, Joel O-Face, O-O-O-Steam?
Tonight I was on Facebook scrolling through, and somehow, it's the same as like TBN back in the day. I cannot not watch Kirk Cameron. I just watch him. He does this, so he's doing this 100 Nights of America. What the hell is it called? The 100 Nights of something. He's on like 70. Day 70. I've watched like every single one of them. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But I was trolling him tonight. I was just on there trying to get other people. Like I was just saying, why is this man not our president? And like trying to make little jokes here and there. And I said I bought his t-shirt. I said I bought one of his t-shirts, but it was like I made up the scripture or whatever. But I was thinking about him. I was like, I was trying to figure out, is he smarter than me? Because he's doing a lot and he remembers a lot and has a lot. But I mean, he is fully 100% every single night I watch it. And it's exactly a brand new first year youth pastor that's talking to elementary schoolers. I mean, there isn't anything else he's doing. And I was like, he's smart though. Or he has some kind of intelligence that I think would surpass mine in several ways. But how could he be such a fool? Like what he's doing, the way he sounds and the way he's teaching everything. I couldn't believe it.
Well, ask that question about teaching in a different way. I remember taking music theory in college first semester. Devin and I had the same teacher. We had Miss Bradner. And she starts with the staff and the lines. And it's freshman and this middle C. Lines and spaces, like all that is like at that level first semester. And you go all the way through the semester and you get to like triads and you're writing them and sharps and flats and stuff. And she's got to really focus, and it's really hard for people that haven't seen that before. And then the semester ends because she, oh, remember, she loves music. She's such a great musician, and she can play piano unbelievable. Like, she's unbelievable at music. And then it comes back, and then it's back to, here's the lines. Here's the, it's just 6 months yeah. later, and you have to start at the beginning and do that again. And I could never understand why anybody would do that for the same reason.
Right.
But why, what makes anybody want to do that? Like, how does there's that some, not drive you crazy to not get to get in? Like, you can't.
Right.
Is that the feeling you have with Kirk Cameron? Like, you're not, you're never getting past this? You would stay in first semester forever?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you like it? What's that well, mean?
I feel like there's something about when you get to see that light go off for somebody.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Like, I think some people have that to where they get to re-see this learning and experiencing for the first time in different people. I think that's exciting for some people when it seems super boring.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean?
Like, so it's not the material that they like then, though, is one way to say it.
Yeah, I'd say it's more the experience.
Of youth, first-time youth pastor for him. Like, he likes
yeah,
just that environment or something. Like, he gets satisfaction out of just, you know.
Yeah.
Well, he thinks he's really doing something.
You think yep. he's deceived about what he's doing or just likes what he does?
But I don't know. Maybe I'm deceived. That's what I'm saying. Maybe he's doing something and I'm not. I mean, sometimes there's 17,000 people watching on there. I've seen 17,000. I was like, 17,000 people? Because here's what else. Mike Sievers, his character on Growing Pains, mm-hmm. was phenomenal.
It was
that, I mean, that was a yeah. you couldn't ask for a better character. Yeah, I mean, he was amazing.
He's an artist. The man's an artist.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
I mean, his character on the, I mean, that he made that sitcom in the beginning. I mean, it, definitely. Like, it really, he became the central figure for sure.
Well, he certainly wasn't Tracy Gold.
No.
Right. Tracy Gold.
He was a massive star.
Yeah.
Like, it was like Michael J. Fox level, you know, before, yeah. before right. he was in movies. Like, with Family Ties, Michael J. Fox, like Kirk Cameron.
Yes.
Yeah,
and I think he only did like one movie, and Christianity. He was like, "No, I can't be in this evil, sinful industry or something like that." And then he was gone for a long time, and then he started coming back. What was that Christian movies in?
Fireproof. My mom Fireproof. made me and my ex watch it. Something I don't remember. Man, my mom sent it to me to watch. It.
Now, isn't he Candace Cameron's brother?
Yes.
Yeah,
and they're both super Christian.
Yeah.
And they both are kind of.
That's what I'm saying. They both look oh, well. Great. She's.
Yeah. I think she's a little gorgeous. Less, maybe. I don't know.
No, she's more normal for yeah. sure. But yeah.
Yeah, she's kind of like your soccer mom Christian, you right. know, standard yeah. evangelical. He's a little bit more. That's what I'm saying. Like the stuff he's saying, I'm just like, man, he does have a good brain to pull some stuff off that I couldn't. But we are just, what he's doing here, I just don't. It just seems like such a waste.
Well, I wonder if he subconsciously, he left a huge, huge career for that.
Yeah.
And it's like, he couldn't even, how can he not just keep going with that? He'd feel too bad about yeah. himself if he, because he can't go back to Hollywood.
It's a sunken right. cost.
That's over. Yes. Yeah, exactly. It's a sunk yeah. cost.
I think he knows that if he strays from his character or even his direction or path or whatever you want to call it, I think he knows he's gone. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's either
stay
on the path or I can't talk about all that stuff. I just can't go there. You know what I mean?
That's actually that is what has kind of emerged as the plot of What Would Jesus Sell, is what you're talking about right there.
Oh.
And the way it seems to frame out for a lot of people and in the people, I mean, it's true of all of us and almost everybody, you know, if you think about it, when you get into Christianity, really, as young people, we're usually searching for certainty, it seems like. Like, we're looking to get the answers so that you know what is good to do and bad to do. Because you're a young man, you don't know what's good or bad, and you don't know if you're going to turn out good or bad. You remember feeling that way?
Right.
Like, you weren't yes. sure, am I good or bad? Yes. I don't know yet. I need to know what I need to do and how it works so I can know that and then move forward. So, it's like, you take that walk toward certainty, and then you find it, but you lose flexibility and the ability to experience other things. It gets thinner and thinner. The more and more certainty you need. Right. And then if you can just stay there, if you can just stay there, you do. And because to move past it, you're going to do basically the deconstruction thing, which is you head off the cliff and toward nihilism, and hopefully you don't fall through. And right. so on the other side of, if you've gone that far with that kind of thing, it gets thinner and narrower, and it is a certain way only, and it's rigid. And if you break that, at that point, what happens, you know?
Yes.
I don't know how stuff sticks. I don't know how stuff sticks so strongly either, though. Like, I feel like I came from a super conservative fundamentalist background, and it feels like I'm experiencing new thoughts in my faith and belief. And so, in beliefs, how did he stay exactly the same?
But like don't you think all yours is related to once you understood, oh, there isn't certainty, I have to look more broadly.
I know. How did he keep it, though? That's what I'm saying. How did he keep his certainty?
But he's in a very peculiar space, is what I'm saying. It's a very small, narrow, thin right. space that he's locked into and can't really move outside of, or he wouldn't right. be able to handle the deconstruction, whereas yours is more of a controlled demolition. You right. stepped into it. You're going to take it one week at a time. Like, remember, we were on this podcast 530 episodes, and you were in a very different place than now.
Yeah.
No, you took each step sure. to get where you are. But for him, no. it would be to have it, the sunk cost is so high, it's nothing but a big, like, could he stabilize if he poked through? You know, probably not.
Right.
Yeah.
And what's the point for
him
now?
You walked it down. Like, you were secure enough, like, in who you were and your life and your accomplishments and what you'd seen. Yeah. Like, you had everything. Like, you have all the privilege, in a way, like spiritual privilege, to know that it's okay to yeah. take another step.
Go ahead, Dim. Sorry.
No, I was just sorry. I was just going to say that's his career now.
And it's
his
career,
being that guy.
So, yeah,
that's just being that guy, and he knows. And yeah. he's probably what, like, is he almost 50? He's probably
yeah.
close.
Yeah, I think he's
50. I mean, he's over halfway through his life, and he's probably right. thinking, like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Change who I am now?
And then all that would have been wrong or something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny you're talking about, like, not that if he did change, his world would be wrecked.
Right.
I've yeah. been seeing that play out on social media in real time with Craig Gross. His world. Have you really? Yeah. Like, Craig Gross was, you know, started XXX Church, and he supported our podcast
taken
a long time.
Some more steps. And, yeah. That's
and
for
then,
sure.
then he started the Christian Weed Company. Uh-huh. I don't even know if that, and now, there'll be videos on Instagram where he's like, here, I'm here on the top of this mountain on my second day of ayahuasca. I mean, seriously, yeah. I think he went to Mexico and did ayahuasca, whatever that is, you know? Yeah. And I mean, he's just doing everything.
He's on a journey.
He's on a journey. I want to get him back on.
He poked through the certainty barrier, and he's in the next phase, and we'll see how he comes yeah. out. He may make it. He may not.
But that's what I'm saying. It's the same thing. I guess that's like the mentality we were talking about, I think, even last week with 69, the 69 coming up. Like, you just have to become a different person. Like, Craig was this person, and then he went through the wormhole and, you know, tried marijuana, and it gave him a bunch of enjoyment and relief and new thoughts and all this stuff. And so now he is different, right? But so yeah. Kirk Cameron couldn't be that guy. You have to change. Same way 69. In order to really go there, you have to kind of change who you are.
You have to allow for
it. Kind of be both a little bit, but one has to be more dominant. So my willpower and that guy that gets up at four, you know, all those things, that's the guy I am.
It's not just stuff you do. It's like when we had L.A. Paul on, there's a transformative experience. You have to allow it to happen.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can be a different person, but you have to allow the change to happen. But it can happen in many different ways, if you know. But yeah, 69 is, we mentioned it last week, but I hope a bunch of people will do it. We sent out the pre-registration to the people that had it last year and already got a bunch of responses. So we got some really good updates for the challenges. It starts on 420, obviously. Mm-hmm. We'll go for 69 days, and it's based around physical exercise and some mental habits and taking control of your habits and doing all that kind of thing. So there's those rules to it. There'll be some group teams that we are on. We'll make extra podcasts, like have a 69 rewind each week where we hang out and talk and reflect on the week, and just to get everybody motivated on the same page. It's a kind of thing where you step into it, you step into experience, and you'll see yourself make change and progress for the you that is going to be there at the end of the challenge. Because at the end of the challenge, you will feel significantly different. Maybe, like we were talking about before, like if you had more or less dick. It might be like that. I don't know. But in any case, after you have made yourself, pushed yourself to commit to exercise every day and do it with other people, and it's encouraging, accountability, a little competition, writing stuff down, scoring a point, just the awareness of what your habits are, just that practice alone will make you a more aware person and hopefully have more compassion for yourself and be able to trust yourself more to believe you can do the things that you decide to do. But we just pick things that everybody can do. Exercise for 45 minutes, stick to the diet you think's healthy, stuff like that. So if anybody's interested in doing that, it'll be pretty affordable. It will also include the membership for the whole 69 days to Emeryland, which now has a new platform launch with a giant content library that we're super excited about. So I know this sounds like I'm talking about making an ad now at this point, but just let this be the ad for the show. I just want to make sure everybody knows I don't have the call to action. So just be ready, check your email. And if you were curious what the 69 challenge is, it's about third or fourth time we've done it. We started it a year and a half or so ago. And it's been just something that we in Emory did to cause change out of our comfort zones. And it works really well. So this is probably the biggest one ever. So pretty fun. Lunsford, you're doing it again?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Here's going to be your challenge, Lunsford.
All right. What's
is you have a new house that you're doing a bunch of work on that you also have
That's
to
That's a good excuse to not do it.
Also have to be, you know,
I think,
be straight.
Well, yeah, I think I'll be done with everything I need to do before then, but I thought I'd be done last week. So I liked doing it last time, but I stopped losing weight 3 weeks in when I started drinking Toby's recommendation of Heineken Zero Zeros. He told me, he's like, this non-alcoholic beer is great. And I was like, really? How many carbs is it? It's like 2.6. I was doing low carb. And I was like, oh, I could have like a 12. I was eating no carbs hardly at all. I was doing really good. I was like, I could have a six pack and like, you know, no big deal. And I thought they were good. And so for the rest of the challenge, I was drinking those. And then I was like, man, I'm not really losing weight as fast. Like, cause I was losing like 7 pounds a week. And then at the end, when we were at the Emory video shoot for the live, the week's end and how, whatever fucking record.
I'm only a man.
I don't know. I'm only a man.
Oh, Lord.
Sorry. Listen, I just made the schedule.
It's all right.
Wasn't there to sing.
I love thinking of Lunsford on our health plan, just polishing off a six pack of non-alcoholic every night. He's on number six. Shut the fuck up, Cassie. Just drinking non-alcoholics.
They're great.
A six pack of non-alcoholic.
They were great. Well, like, also, I felt like I wanted to go do stuff with friends or go to like a party or something, you know, and like, it felt nice just to have something that tasted like a beer at the party. Anyway, but we're hanging out at the Emory video shoot, drinking them. We've been drinking them all weekend, right? And Matt McDonald asked about them. He's like, what are these? Like, no alcohol? And I was like, yeah, and they're low carb. And he picks the bottle and he listens. He's like, says 12 carbs. I was like, give me that bottle. What are you talking about? And I'm like, Toby.
I thought they were carbs. The Budweiser ones are nothing. Those are
no
true.
Carbs?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, it might not be no carbs, but it's only 50 calories.
Well,
but the Heineken tastes way better. Heineken is about as close to real. I mean, I can't really tell the difference.
Yeah.
If you handed it to me.
Yeah. Matt got drunk off.
Yeah. Matt got a hangover. Thought he had COVID.
I didn't know
he got COVID from
hangover.
Non-alcoholic.
Yeah.
I think that so much sugar, it gives you an actual headache if you drink too many.
It might be.
It might have a real small amount of alcohol.
It has a little bit.
Could it have like 0.2 or something?
That's what makes me so paranoid about it. It's like, did I drink that much that my liver, I ruined my liver that bad that I can't even drink a part fake beer and get a hangover? It's like, I quit drinking, but still, the damage is done. That's what basically was.
Drunk as shit and hungover the next day from two non-alcoholic beers.
Do y'all have weight loss ambitions though, or yes. just in it to do it?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, I don't know, man.
You sound so ashamed of yourself.
Me and Toby been talking about it a little bit.
I feel bad for you guys. It feels like you feel bad about who you are right now.
I am definitely bigger than when I started the last one.
Oh man. Yeah.
Like I am for sure. And my clothes are tight, like real tight. And I'm like, oh no. Like these are the shirts that always fit. You know, I got those in the back. There's like three shirts in the back where I'm like, just in case shit hits the fan, I balloon up to 300. I'm going to be okay. You know what I mean? Like I've kept those since like my biggest. The biggest I ever weighed was 280 in college. I've kept some shirts since then because I was like, just in case. It's my go shirts. Like my mom's go bag. Yeah. I have a go shirt. And those are tight. So I definitely have to lose weight. I mean, I have to, but I do want to keep this. I'm not going to be like this next time. So no matter what, my goal is, even if I have to keep doing 69 or whatever, I want to do it in some moderation and sustainability. That's the thing.
And also never drink again.
I have to never drink again.
I don't believe anything you're saying right now. Everything you're saying right now is just wrong. There's no chance.
No.
There's no chance.
I've never been like this. Not like this.
No, this is times different.
This time's different. This is a new me, okay? I've only died my whole life. That's all I've ever known. I have never once been really thin for a super long time. Y'all would say maybe when we first began the band or whatever, but even then I can fluctuate really easily 15, 20 pounds one way or the other. I just can't.
But the fact that you can fluctuate is a good sign. I mean, many people, it's a one-way journey for the lifetime of that person.
Yeah.
I mean, I will lose 20 pounds in the first 2 weeks. I'm certain of that.
Yeah.
I think I will do that.
Yeah. It comes off fast especially when you're out of shape, but because I'm going to be the same way. I'm going to lose quick. But it's funny because, like we were talking about this last time too, becoming a different person. I took a shower last night before bed, and I had a real conversation with myself about which direction I want to go.
in life, you know?
Like a real conversation. I was like, okay, what are the pros and cons of each direction?
Can you define the directions? Do you have language
One would be flip the switch and become the fully health conscious person. Like go all in.
Maybe, diet, maybe
like Tom Brady. Like Russell Wilson.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
David Goggins.
I mean, I know it takes years and years to actually get in incredible shape, but I just mean.
But the mental commitment to being that person, like Russell Wilson or David Goggins.
Go in that direction where you can't have that piece of cake at the birthday party.
Yeah. Right.
That kind of, you know what I mean? Like that's a big line you got to cross. So.
But to do that is to make yourself the person that doesn't have any problem not taking the cake. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
You become the person that isn't hard to say no to that cake.
Right.
Yeah.
And that sounds a little sad.
Yeah.
To me. Or I'm not saying you have to balloon up or anything like that.
But that's the other option, balloon up.
The other option is just let it go, baby.
I mean,
just let it go.
Enjoy the ride.
Just enjoy
it. It's going to get wild.
What we got left? I got 30, 40 years left.
At best. I mean, that's the best case scenario. Isn't that crazy? The best case scenario is you have 40 years left. That's the very best. Oh,
that's not the best case scenario.
Yes, well, it is.
That's
it
a is good sure. case scenario.
Most realistic. I mean, there could be some advancements in health.
I'll be almost 83 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's above average, right?
Yeah.
Of death age.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that I'm at that middle point.
But the thing about choosing the path that isn't, The balloon up path is there literally is no bottom to that. So that isn't a path to choose.
Right.
Because that's to be determined. Like there's no bottom of how bad that method of.
It should be more of an achievement if you can reach 400 pounds. That's not totally easy.
Yeah, but
it's not just like a cakewalk.
But that's still a cakewalk the first 300. And after that, it gets actually pretty difficult. It's that. The gaining weight would be a byproduct of saying the same as the person that doesn't, it's not hard to say no to the cake. Mm-hmm. The person you become that had no limit you wouldn't like being that person probably. And you know that.
That's true. I know. It's kind of a trade off. Oh man, the happiness, you have a happiness based on what you are able to consume and like this feeling of freedom.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like you don't really have boundaries. You're just, oh my gosh, I love this. I love pizza. I love that. The other direction, you're proud. You're happy with yourself. Maybe not as fun.
Not
be as fun of a person. So when you do go hang out with your friends, it's going to be a little more like, oh.
Like the sober guy at the bar. He goes, no, I love hanging out. I love it. It's fun. But he's not fucking having fun like we are.
And I don't want
you know it.
Right. And you don't want that guy there either. You don't like hanging out with him.
Go to youth group, loser. Beat it.
But I mean, I know there's a middle ground. It feels like I teeter in that ground so much that I'm like not committed to anything. That's what it feels. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
It's just a lack of commitment. And I know that, but it's kind of nice.
Would you know give up? Like, would you give up 1 inch of your penis for a perfect body? You've always had. Ooh. I mean, you just had basically. You didn't have to really worry. Yeah. I mean, you couldn't eat. You couldn't eat anything you wanted. But right now, you can give up 1 inch, and you will be pretty shredded. And then you can get you. You might could gain it all back if you don't do right. That's the only issue.
Oh,
you can lose it.
No,
yeah.
Then no.
Nah.
Hard.
I mean, but the perfect body, you have it right now. I mean,
you just wake up and you have it.
If you woke up and had that, you might.
But nobody would maintain the perfect body if they were handed it without any effort.
I feel like you'd be so nervous. Nah,
you wouldn't. For the next few years.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Nah. I would like it, though.
And your dong would look bigger anyway because you lost all that weight.
Yeah, but you wouldn't keep it. And then the state you would arrive at would be worse than before. Once you no longer had that body, which you would
once
not.
Once you're fat and a shorter wiener.
Yeah, and you know that you had the perfect body and completely squandered it.
Is the equivalent to dong size, boob size for women? Is that?
I don't think so.
I don't think they care that much.
About boobs? Well, I mean, there's a lot of fake boob surgery.
They care some, but I don't think it's the
but I'm saying,
the depth.
But it would be the only thing.
Identity.
That or their butt would be the only thing comparative. A woman doesn't want a shorter or longer vagina, right?
No, for the penis thing, it's just like really basic, primal. Like it's a different kind of phallic thing, like power related or something. Right.
Well, every girl can get big tits, so they just get pregnant.
Yeah,
like,
but then they go away.
Just get pregnant, you know.
No, I'm just
have a baby.
Dang, they can. Boobs. They get pregnant. You know, there ain't nothing you can do to just get a bigger dick.
Yep, that's nature's curse.
Yet,
yeah.
All the technology's been invented. Nothing on that, really.
Yeah, how hasn't there been a guy? Working on that?
I know that's the biggest thing that I don't understand. Like that would seem like the main thing. How men are bad. That seems like men would have really nailed that one at least, right?
I think like good at done a lot of engineering over the years, but
I mean, they just came up with the penis pump because it's easier and quicker. Think about
that. You would think that men would have gotten that one. I guess it's impossible. I mean, you just can't, right? I mean, but wouldn't
we're in remote galaxies for eons from now. It's just nothing. Just stuck with these 6 inches. I don't know.
Well, if it involves surgery.
We all wish they were a foot long, but we can't. There's nothing we can do. We conquered the cosmos, but here we are stuck.
Even in virtual reality.
Because women
it doesn't even work in VR. It's just they can't figure it out.
You can't do it.
Women can get bigger tits by getting a boob job, right? That's a surgery. Uh-huh. But if they had a surgery for cutting into your dick and giving you, no man would ever do it.
I think have that.
I think every man would
have it.
I've seen. Well,
too scared. You're going to cut my dick open and.
Is the number one.
I mean, they do gender transition and that turns a penis into a vagina or a penis.
Yeah, they could, but it's just more. Yeah, it's more. Invasive than a boob job. But you could, you know, you've seen the human centipede? No. I mean, there's a lot you can do.
Oh, God.
I mean, there's plenty you can do. It's just, it's messy.
I mean, think about that guy that wants to be the boar.
Oh, my gosh. Don't even bring him up.
I actually did go to the doctor today. I got a tetanus shot. I haven't had a tetanus shot since, I guess, I don't know. I guess elementary school. I don't know if I ever even had a booster. Do y'all get those? I hadn't thought about it ever.
I've had them before, but not recently. Yeah. But I mean, in the last 10 years, in my finger doing construction where I thought that's definitely trouble. Tetanus, but it wasn't.
What happens if you get tetanus?
Oh, you don't want to know.
Lockjaw?
I think I should know. I think Megan's told me before.
All of your muscles get tenser and tenser and tenser until you die.
What?
Really?
From that. And that's even tetanus? Your bone. Yeah. Even toward the end, even the muscles and cleave from the tendons inside your own body. And you lock your jaw locks, you know, early on. And all your muscles continue to tighten until you perish.
How long does that take?
It takes some time, my friend.
So it's like years? The worst possible
it's
way
bad.
To die.
It's one of the worst, yeah.
But how do people die from that anymore?
Well, they don't often. I don't know, but I mean, I think if you get it, you know,
you don't survive.
I don't think you can cure it.
What actually
is rare
gets you? It's not the rust, is it? What is it?
It's like a bacteria.
Bacteria that lives on rust?
Yeah. Yeah. Why is it on the nail that goes into your foot? That's the only thing I've ever heard. You step on the nail.
Well, because I don't know what it lives on in rusty nails, I guess, or whatever, stuff like that. But it's the puncture wound is the risk because it goes up in and then seals back. Because any other topical wound, if you run across tetanus, it just washes out or whatever. It doesn't implant.
But when it punctures,
so it has to be all the way up and in and then seal back over and then incubate and go. And then, you know.
That's it.
Yeah.
But so if it gets a hold, you can't get the shot and fix it.
I think. You might can get a shot at some window, and then there's a window where you can't, perhaps, I think. Because I think if you have a poke, you're supposed to go get a tetanus shot.
Right.
I think.
Okay. Can you suck out? Is it like a snake bite? Like you can suck it out?
I mean, you know, bacteria and viruses are just physical, biological objects. So their presence, they fit well with things and do things. So it's pretty mechanical. So if you wash it out, you get it out. But
all right.
If it's in there.
If your dick hit a rusty nail, would you give up that inch of your dick?
Chop it off.
To avoid the tetanus.
Quick. Yeah.
I was trying to think of an instance. I was just going to say, I was trying to imagine an instance where you come across like a family and like one of the dad is sitting there. He's kind of looking weird. Something's happening. You're like, what's wrong with? Oh, he got tetanus.
He's
literally dying from a shot that I never knew was even bad at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't even understand how that's fatal.
Well,
and if it's like what Matt said, he probably is a raging boner.
Yeah.
Well, as hard as a rock.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That muscle kills you, but you get
extreme wood. I mean, no doubt.
Imagine a 2-year boner from tetanus.
Mm-hmm.
First year would be pretty. Wouldn't be not as bad as Matt said. Second year.
Is that why on the Viagra they tell you if you have an erection that lasts for longer than 4 hours, consult a doctor? Because they might go, you have tetanus.
Yeah, tetanus, sir. Sir, you have tetanus.
Hey, it's not the Viagra. You've got tetanus.
What is the number one penis enlargement thing now? Is it just pills? Is that all you ever see are the pills?
They're just boner pills, though. Not enlarged.
That's all they are? I thought they were like some kind of vitamins.
Well, they're just supplements for everything.
Supplements,
but they're supplements for everything. Just anything you can say something
But those
about.
Are just more like blood flow. They're basically Viagra, just knockoff versions of Viagra, right?
Yeah.
How does somebody get into that business? Like, how do you say, do you get a business partner? You're like, yeah, you know what? I think penis enlargement.
It's probably a lot of money.
Is it a
money
maker?
Think about those pills at a gas station.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
How many guys buy those?
Horny goat weed.
The exact amount that gets it the best real estate in the whole truck stop constantly, everywhere, always. That
That's
amount.
That's true.
Truckers, boy, they just have them.
Yeah.
Gosh.
So maybe it works. I don't know.
I did the Hims. You know, Hims is the advertiser on here. I did the Hims pill.
And it worked.
And it did. It felt like anything could happen.
It just isn't like, that funny. That's what I'm saying.
Like bull, strong like bull,
and that affects your yes. whole attitude.
I was walking around like, oh really?
Yeah.
What's going on? About to get, hey,
stomping around like a stallion.
About to turn off the TV tonight. It did, and then I didn't renew it. I just tried like one of the things I hadn't tried it since, but it was something.
You could have got addicted, so I'm glad you didn't.
I know, I could have been addicted to those things. Also, speaking of health, I went to the doctor, and it was awful because I still have my hemorrhoid, so I was just dreading it, and as a nice young man, and I was telling him everything else that was wrong with me. I said, well, I stubbed my toe. Does that look all right? Like, I hadn't been to a doctor in a very long time. I do not go to the doctor. Like, only doctor I've been to in the last 4 years is like at urgent cares. I have not had like a family doctor. I just don't do it. Probably should. But, so I was trying to tell him everything, but, he was like, well, any trouble urinating? I was like, well, I said, my stream is a little bit less these days, but you know, he said, you get up to pee a bunch at night. I said, just maybe once. He's like, let's get you some Flomax. I was like, oh,
No way. Yes. That's messed up.
I know. I said, well, maybe I'll try.
He fished the question in the first place. He brought it up.
Yes.
I mean, I guess it's his job to ask shit like that. But I mean,
he has to.
That was pretty quick with the.
I mean, I'm 45 and he was just talking. He wasn't a bad guy.
Did he say, that's normal?
Yeah, he did say, like he said, peeing normal. He said, he did. He kind of maybe debated it for a second. It was like, let's just try Flomax.
Please. That's a part of his spiel.
I know.
I could definitely use it then.
And then, what was the other?
So, wow, dog, that's pretty quick for a pharmaceutical intervention, don't you think?
I know. And that wasn't even the reason I was there. So, I told him a few other things. And I was like, and here's one of the main reasons I'm here. I said, a little embarrassed. I said, I have a hemorrhoid. And he goes, well, has it been? And I was like, well, it doesn't cause me any pain. I think it might be going down on its own, but you know, and he was like, well, let's get you up and look at it. And I was like, oh shit. And I said, what do you want me to do? He said, well, I want you to pull down your pants and lean over on that bed like this. And I did. And then he just had my butt cheeks apart. and then he starts playing with my hemorrhoid. I was like, shit. And he's like, it doesn't look inflamed. It's not, you know. Let me give you this topical ointment. It has a little bit of a steroid in it. Maybe that'll help. You know, I'm not. And I was like, okay. All this. This is why. He goes, you do you snore? I was like, some. But I said, you know, it might be. I've gained a little bit of weight recently. I said, I think when I lose weight, it goes away. He goes, let's get you in for a sleep apnea test. And I was like, I can't.
What was the question that led to that?
Do you snore?
Golly.
I know.
With this guy.
So,
Matt, he's doctor.
There's more to this story. It gets better. So I go home and I text my dad because my dad always has talked about hemorrhoids and Flomax and he will talk to you about it nonstop. So I text him and say, well, guess what? Your son's just got prescribed Flomax. I promise you, seconds passed before he's on the phone calling me from work. He's calling me from his job. My dad ain't called me in 3 months since you know. I mean, we don't talk on the phone. He had his opportunity. He starts telling me, he says, don't do that. He said, don't do that Flomax. It's super expensive. And you know, this, and we're just sitting there talking. And he goes, and this, Matt, you'll love this. He says this to me. He goes, I said, yeah. I said, I felt like he would. I said, I didn't really think I needed that. I just told him, you know, my stream's gotten a little bit less, but I'm not in any pain or anything. He's like, he said, Toby, when you go to the doctor, he said, when I go to the doctor, I don't tell him anything. he said, as soon as you tell him something, they got a pill for it. He said, I don't tell him anything.
That's so hilarious.
He goes to the doctor.
He goes to the doctor and then don't tell him what's going on.
Doesn't say a word.
All good.
Not going to get me there. No.
Have you ever gotten your brakes inspected and they said, looking good. Looking good. You don't need to come back here for a while.
Just take it easy.
Those brakes, those calipers and those rotors, my gosh, you've been doing great stuff. Keep it up.
But he was right. You don't have any I was like, well, okay. So I was like, yeah, you know, it's probably not that bad. My dad, you know, maybe he's exaggerating. I go there. The Flomax is $190.
And whoa, guess how long? Wait, guess how long you'll be on it?
For the rest of my life.
Of your life.
That's what my dad said. My dad said, as soon as you start taking it, you'll never stop. Right. I was like, oh shit, what is this, like heroin or something? Like, I mean, good God, this Flomax shit's unreal.
Like, if there's anything you could do to not be on a pharmaceutical intervention that's expensive for the rest of your life, might want to try that first. Give it a week, give it a month, do a whole list. I mean, anything you might want to try before engaging in that chemical dependency.
Well, that's what my dad. So my I told him no. I said I'm not doing that, and I didn't get even the hemorrhoid, the topical ointment that wasn't. I looked it up. It doesn't really. It's not guaranteed. It does anything. It was $70. I was like, am I getting ready to spend $300? That's not even including the doctor's visit. I was like, I hadn't been to the doctor in forever. You know how much money I've saved by not going? I mean, it's unbelievable, and I'm still here. Maybe I should have gone. Maybe I'm going to find out. So I got blood work next week and all that stuff. But my dad said to take vitamins. He was like, oh, you know what? My buddy took this, and he doesn't even have to do that anymore. It worked out real good for his prostate and all this stuff. So I went to Walmart and bought Saw Palmetto vitamin. I guess that's what that is. And I'm supposed to take that and just see if it helps any. I don't even have that big of a problem. All I said, that's the thing. Like, I mean, I got my dad giving me answers. His doctor, I was like, he just asked me. And I said, my urination's changed. I mean, I'm still peeing fine. It's just, you know.
I'll never, ever, ever be able to get a grip on how many people are so intent on being involved in other people's lives.
Oh, I know.
I just can't. I'm never going to be able to get my mind around how many people want other people to do things that are not themselves in the world. I can't get a grip on that. I've been here 43 years, true. And I cannot understand how many people want other people to do very certain things.
That is strange.
I just don't understand it.
I mean, that's all we're really getting. That's all. Every day is.
Is it that people are commodities and everybody has an agenda for you as, like, is it that humans are valuable and anybody that could will have an agenda for you because you're valuable? Is that what it is? Like, if a conquering nation came in, they're like, oh, we need those workers. Conquer them. Take them. You have, like, they're your workforce, or they're the people that feed into your system, or they're your... Yeah. I mean, there's something to you. Like, if you could be taken over by somebody else's desires, they will do that. Like, you have to have an immune system against it to survive. Otherwise, people will control your whole life. There's enough people trying to, they will.
The big thing I thought too, okay, so I got this tetanus shot and I was like, oh, I never thought once about not doing that, because I've heard such, and I guess it would be propaganda, but enough stories about tetanus. I've never heard that. I didn't know what none of us knew what tetanus does. And I immediately would take a shot. None of us knew. We were all shocked. Matt, the one person who knows everything, of course he knew. But I mean, how many people know what tetanus does to you? You just get
Nobody.
That shot, right?
Not many.
And I was like, oh, that was just so simple. But this COVID one, like, if they were going to put something in it, they put in the tetanus shot. Everybody gets it. No questions asked.
Why
I don't understand. Why wouldn't the tetanus should be the one that takes over the world and gets you the, you know, 5G in your body, blister, whatever it does to you, all that stuff. I mean, that should be the one. I took it, no problem. They didn't have to even ask. The other thing the guy did ask too was, he said, hey, listen, we're trying to get people tested for HIV and hepatitis. And...
trying to get people
he said
tested.
He said the only way, because you know, if you don't test it, you don't find out if you have it or not. And so he said now it's optional if you want to take this test or not. I said I don't want to. I said I'm certain I would know by now with my wife. I said I haven't had sex with anybody but her, and I said it's sexually transmitted disease we're talking about here. He's like, yes. And I was like, well, I mean, no. Well, I'm not going to do that. I mean, he was like, it could show a false positive. And I was like, can you imagine me taking that test? I have to tell Jess when she gets home from work, hey, listen, it's probably wrong, but I have HIV.
It's probably a false positive, but you need to go down to the health department.
Immediately go there. I mean, she had our kids and everything. We never had HIV. And then now today, I was like, no, I'm not taking that. It's just, that's but you're right. I mean, my dad's that's right. There's a pill for every fucking thing. And that, all those pills, that's how people make money. And so they certainly want you to take them. So Flomax, I mean, just they tried to get me. I was like, I'm just not going to. Not yet. If I really need it, I'll do it. But, and hopefully there's a generic brand. I'm sure there is. I think my dad was trying to tell me about that. But
on that,
I mean, outrageous.
I was just going to say, I'm pretty sure the organization is the problem behind that, right? I mean, that's they're pushing the agendas from top down, right?
Because
I mean,
it's just kind of corrupt.
Go deep.
I mean, I've known like individual corrupt doctors. Like with my mom, for instance, she was basically addicted to pain medication forever. I mean, without really knowing, you know what I mean? Like it was in the South where pretty much everybody and their sister took whatever all the time. But it wasn't like intentional. Like, you know, my mom just eventually became, I guess, addicted to prescription pills. And so, but there was a few doctors that were like under the table kind of thing. They just give you more pills. Mm-hmm. And they got eventually found out and in trouble.
That's
but
how your mom
your
got
average,
the pills?
Well, I mean, there was a couple doctors that she had over the course of her life, adult life, who would give you extra pills under the table.
But they were helping her.
Well, I mean, yeah. in her mind,
they were doing a good thing.
She's yeah, in my mom's mind, she thought, oh, well, they're getting a little weaker. I just have to take more, and they right. go through them quicker.
And they were just helping her get by. Yeah. You know, some people just, right. they need a little help getting by. I mean, they're not, it's
pain
not feasible for
serious.
Her to get off or go to rehab. I mean, we'll just, I mean, they, you yeah. know.
Now, what were I these mean, doctors' just, names, and where did they practice?
Well, I mean, it was in like small town, you know, backwoods, South Carolina. You know what I mean? And they were criminals. That's just what they were. They ended up being just crooked people that took advantage of a lot of people and got in a lot of trouble.
It was weird though. Devin's mom said her doctor was named Dr. Dealer. But if your mom super, thought you know, it was a doctor, but it was really just the local drug dealer and she didn't know.
I never understood pain stuff or painkiller stuff, but when I broke my femur and they gave me Percocet and I had I had a lot of them. Like they gave me a very big prescription of it.
Yeah.
And like, I fucking loved it. It was, I'm serious. It was awesome. I'd take those pills every day and I'd just sit in a chair and like feel good. And I came up with all sorts of ideas. Like I came up with crazy shit I was going to do when I was in that chair. I was going to like do a documentary about going back from an injury, trying to play minor league baseball or something like that, you know? And, thought about I might get my PhD in like a Scientology or something like that. Like I came up with all these ideas and
you
then
got
really
grandiose.
Yeah. But because I was high, it was just very, very cool. And then the next doctor I went to for my checkup, he wouldn't write me more. He was like, I didn't tell him any of that. He was like, I'm not giving you any more pain pills. You just have to gotta be off of them now. I was like, fuck.
Pain pills are so addictive, though. They really are.
Yes.
I mean, Brett Favre, I remember when Brett Favre was addicted to them, I was like, oh, my God, what is this? This is like evil or something bad. But, I mean, you're right. But you just start taking them because you have pain, and then why would you stop?
You feel great when you're on them. You feel really good. So,
we interviewed this former wrestler, and I think if I could remember his name right now, he wasn't like a huge star, but he was like kind of a, you know, middle of the road kind of guy, but he was on TV and everything. And he said he got the point that he was taking 90 pain pills a day.
Wow.
Whoa.
90. And I mean, he was like, it was unreal. I mean, it was hundreds of thousands of dollars a month.
God.
To just take all these pills. Cause he had to, he stayed up all night. He wrestled. He was just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just covers everything.
That's like so, anyway. Those guys, and those the same people that can drink 40 beers or whatever. You know? they can push themselves to build that muscle mass. They can do it, and their tolerance just does it, and they just do it. You just get it. That's crazy. Do you think on the what you said earlier about the vaccine, if they were going to do. I was thinking, if people really believe that that vaccine changes your DNA, like that's the thing, right? Like that's the way to look at it, that, that the thing people will say. And it seems like they believe that that is true, but maybe they mean it could be true. How do you know that? Like Toby's saying, like you don't even ask. But if they really thought that, wouldn't it be an implication then for the rest of your life that you were one of those mutants? Like you would never want your daughter to marry someone who had that vaccine back then, correct?
Right.
They'd be a mutant, liberal mutant. You can't marry one and have kids. If they had somebody that got vaccinated married your daughter and they had a child, you have a mutant grandkid. Why would you let them populate the DNA? So maybe they don't really believe that that is happening.
I don't know. Probably not. I think they change it.
Well, then liberals are mutants that take the vaccine.
Well, a lot of conservatives probably think that. A lot of Republicans think that, don't they? I mean, lizard people. People believe in lizard people.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe it'll go that way. But that's kind of the implication. Like, to say it changed your DNA, well, that's a big deal if you believe that.
Well, the thing to me is, that's what I was thinking. I was like, oh, I took this tetanus shot. No questions asked. I don't know what it does. I don't know anything. I'm letting somebody inject something into me that they say I'll need to get again in 10 years. And I just did it. And I was like, oh, there's no hope. If you will be defeated in, you know, by the governments or the uppers or they people that you don't know, this moving shadows, you have no chance. I'm done. It's over. I lost, right? I mean, I took that shot. I put something into me. What movie have you ever watched where the people get out a needle and go to inject it in somebody? No, I mean, that's like every movie I've ever seen. I was grateful for it. Thank you. Yes. I paid them to inject me with something. I don't know what it is.
I'm sure
it's over. Yeah. Yeah. I know. So, I mean, what I'm going to stand up against the evil government one day, or you know, the Jennifer Lawrence movie, whatever that is,
Hunger Games.
It's funny, when you get a shot, you don't know what's in the needle. You don't double check.
It's like all that stuff.
You wouldn't have a way to know. Oh, let me see it. Oh,
hit the microscope out. Yeah,
that looks right.
I yell at my kids when they try not to get it. No, you get over there. I don't know what the person is putting in my child, and I'm yelling at my kid to shut up and get the thing inside of them. I mean, it's unbelievable. Now,
there's definitely been a mistake before, right?
Yeah, it had to be.
They've accidentally given somebody the wrong vaccine.
Oh, well, plenty of that, but
yeah.
But you think that it's ultimately good, right? I mean, are we at that point? Do you think it's ultimately good?
It saves lives? It's a pick your battles for Toby. It's like,
right.
I'm saying,
do you think that that whole
inject
mentality of like, yeah, let's make sure, because somebody's out there looking out for us, you know, polio, measles, right, you know, all this stuff like that saved thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. Is that ultimately good, or is it worse because you just blindly do whatever people tell you to do?
Well, it's hard to argue with the good the vaccines have done.
Oh, but, sure.
Like,
that's
what I'm
saying, saved like unreal amount of lives.
Yeah, that's, you know, the measles is like a over 50% death rate kind of situation. Jeez. So can, you know, if that was happening,
you know, so whatever that entity is or entity,
I don't know if it's that high, but measles, it like replicates to average like way more. It's like one of the most transmissible too. I don't know if that's right about the death rate, but it's the amount of times that people, you average person gives it to, is like huge amount.
But don't you think when they started giving the measles vaccine, the people were the exact same way?
Yeah. Definitely.
I mean, they're always the same way, no matter what it is. And then hindsight, you're like, well,
it's something really creepy, because, you know, in all those kids YouTube videos where they're doing shots, like, you know, kids when they're 2 and 3, it has nothing to do with governments. They're like, shots? What are shots? You give shots to your baby doll. You do shots. We're obsessed with shots. If you see it on YouTube, you're mesmerized. Like, we humans know something about shots, and it's really serious. Like, we know it's serious business somehow. Something about it. Fully understand is weird when you're very little.
That's true. Well, getting poked with anything.
Yeah.
But
putting something in you.
That's what I'm saying. If there are entities that can save us all, the world, well, of course they can conquer anybody. You don't stand a chance against like the QAnon stuff and all that, it doesn't matter, right? I mean, you're done.
Well, I don't know. About to do what to you long term?
Well, though? I'm just saying that the conspiracy theories out there that like there's a shadow government and the banks and the Rothschilds and all that stuff. I'm just saying I don't even really believe in any of that. But I'm saying if Elon Musk wants to just take over, he can. It just will. I mean, you could be tricked very easily these days.
Yeah.
More. I mean, well, you're more susceptible to taking things and doing things. I mean, that's why people push back on the COVID stuff. I'm not even believing in that. I'm just saying I'm probably going to sign up for the COVID vaccine.
I don't know what's in it. Out there will do just what everybody around them is doing.
Right.
It doesn't matter what it is or where you are or what it is that the people are doing. If they're doing it, you're doing it. That's all. There's just.
And then occasionally you'll have one little outcast here and there. Or something.
And everybody thinks they're that one person, but you do what everybody you know does. Like your grandma says it, my grandma said it, you're never better than who you hang around.
That's totally true.
And you just, whatever they do, you're going to do. If it's war crimes, then it's you too. If it's getting vaccines, if y'all get them, y'all all get them. It's just whatever people around you do, that's how you make all your decisions.
That's weird, man.
It's all.
Well, I'm saying, though, too, though, like the super elite can just give a slogan or something. And I'm saying if they exist, this is all theoretical. I'm saying whatever the conspiracy theory people, whatever the conspiracy people talk about. But, for example, the same way as I don't know what's in the tetanus vaccine or COVID. If somebody said there is an asteroid headed towards this planet. It'll be here in 1 year, 6 months. This is what we must do to live. I'm in.
You're in. Yeah, right.
And I have zero clue if there's an asteroid coming or they're just taking over my life and I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll be helpless to it. There's nothing,
what if that was actually what it was necessary to cause humans to survive, to make a fake threat, just to band together and make a great sacrifice for the whole world just to save the world in the long run, but the asteroid never existed. God. And that numbers were run, and the experiment had been simulated, man. And that was the best outcome. So we don't ruin ourselves some other way that we wouldn't have been able to prevent. Then you just either way, you're just in for the ride.
That's what I'm saying. So I don't care. I'm not that worried that somebody gets my social security number or knows my email. Yeah. Or something. What am I going to do? There's nothing I can do.
Get out those glasses on all the user agreements you click through.
Right, exactly. I really read all of those, man. Detail.
I've been paying a lawyer to look over each one for me. I just want to take it serious.
Oh, man. Have y'all been seeing those recent theories? I see them on TikTok, but that we live in a dome. Have you guys been seeing those at all?
Yeah,
I don't know if they've been around.
I've heard of them.
like biodome.
Well, more like Truman Show, probably. But
yeah,
it's just basically they show all these videos, you know, so conspiracy videos, whatever. But the way certain things react, and then there's water above it or whatever. And I think one of them's even like a Christian argument, like the water's below and the water's above in the
firmament or whatever.
The firmament, yeah. So they always pull me in. I'm never really a conspiracy guy, but I love watching them.
Yeah.
I just really enjoy watching them, like the Bigfoot stuff and all that. I don't ever really believe it, but it's something intriguing about it. I guess that's why so many people go that way.
It's just the confidence they have.
Yeah.
Like somebody can speak so confidently. I go, let me listen to what they got to say. And then I'm, you know, it's something outrageous.
I really think that is a weird situation where the person that carries the meme, which is the conspiracy theory, doesn't really believe it, but they think they believe it. If that's possible, that's what I think is going on. They don't actually believe it if they were really pressed, but they carry it like they believe it in order to, it's a counter will that comes up because they feel forced by other people. Yeah. So they're like, oh, how do you know it doesn't change your DNA? So it changes it's mRNA. Maybe you don't know because they know you don't fucking know what it does either. And so they're saying, you know, we're getting to the point. They're making a really good point, which is Toby's making half of the point, which is you wouldn't know if they were. And we are getting to the point where we can do genetic engineering on populations by inserting sequences into needles or whatever, and CRISPR, yeah, or whatever. We are at that point, and these people are saying, and nobody's even going to worry about that, huh? And nobody's even going to worry about that. So when somebody comes along that's charismatic with the message, it's like, yeah, it's like you've been wanting somebody to make that point because you know these people aren't paying attention. Like, they're, you know, yeah, the government one day might come and you'll wish you had a gun, they will say. And you go, get out of here, whatever. But they could be right about that. Like, but you're right, not even thinking about that. So then they get all charged up on, you know, but they feel that they have to represent that other side. They feel like it, yeah, needs to be represented. And so they're sitting ducks. I mean, but they haven't thought it through. I'm just saying that's their, right, intuitions tell them to do it. And so the charismatic person make a couple of good points and you can't. It sounds, how can you not, you know, think go
about,
along with it?
Think about how crappy it would be if you were from the future and you came back to tell people some very important information. You know how frustrating that would be? Because nobody would want to believe you. But like, if you actually did, like, let's say 100 years from now, there's like, we got to go back and we got to say some stuff to help.
Yeah, they wouldn't care.
It doesn't matter.
We would not care.
No, nobody cares. You got some of the most important information that's out there, but nobody cares. You
what
can't
information
persuade.
Would, if it was an asteroid, for instance.
Yeah, let's say it was the date of the Earth or whatever. I mean, I guess you would know you couldn't do anything. But still, you could think about it and try and do something. You know what I mean?
Like, if you thought you knew the asteroid was coming, but it was going to be very hard to spot astronomically, like it was an anomaly, like where it came from, nobody was looking. But you from the future got to come back and say that it was. You would be saying, you would just be a person on Earth, and you have to try to find scientists and tell them to point their telescopes in the sky on some day. I mean, how would you even ever start to get them to do that?
Right.
Like, you got to go to that big telescope in Hawaii and start telling them where to point it and stuff, like in 4 years from now on the 19th. And they're like, trust me, you're going to want to see this. And you know, it's that nobody would listen to you. There'd be nothing you could point to get anybody to listen to you.
All right. Okay. I looked it up. Do y'all think y'all can name like the top 10 conspiracy theories ever?
How are they measured?
Probably
like just around, you know, like
ranked by,
it doesn't have to be, what do you mean ranked by? Well, it's just
most
like
the people believe it.
Oh,
or?
Yeah. Most well known, most talked about, most discussed.
Yeah.
You know, just the most popular conspiracy theory.
JFK.
Yeah.
JFK.
9/11.
Flat Earth.
9/11. Was inside job. Flat Earth. Bigfoot.
That's aliens?
Five. Well, the moon landing. Did y'all say
moon
that?
Moon landing's one.
Yeah. The moon landing, they think's fake. Princess Diana's murder.
Wow. That's one of the biggest.
Yeah. That's the one on this site. I'm on livescience.com.
Jeffrey Epstein's too recent to be on there, right?
Yeah, he's not on
he's
here,
probably too recent.
But that's one for sure.
I think everybody just believes that one.
Yeah, I think so.
That one's in a category all its own.
Yeah, that's not even a conspiracy.
It's not like disputed. It's just everybody really thinks
that one's just called awkward for everybody. Yeah. It's not actually a conspiracy theory.
That there's subliminal advertising in our media and, you know, like TV shows and stuff like that. That's
probably Disney movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
This one, you know, that Paul McCartney had died on the Abbey Road, you know, that he was JFK. Y'all said that one. The Roswell crash. That's aliens.
Yeah.
And then satanic cults and Big Pharma. That Big Pharma is suppressing knowledge of cures for diseases.
How many of those do you think are the conspiracy side? I mean, are there any of those that you think? They might be right about
the only one on that I think you might see something on is JFK.
Yeah. I'm with you there.
Could be something at Roswell. I mean, there's something somewhere, maybe extraterrestrial or UFO like unexplained phenomenon seems possible, or like there's could be something there. I don't think the moon landing's fake, but it just wouldn't be that outrageous if it were. It wouldn't be the worst thing to ever find. It'd just be like, well, we needed to like the PR for that, and so we just didn't. I mean, that'd be reasonable. I don't think of that, but
the JFK thing, it just makes a lot of sense because it's just not that crazy.
There's more to that.
There's more than we know for sure, right? Yeah.
Well, that's one of the problems with JFK. It's like, what's the conspiracy? Like, and then there's a thousand ways to look at it. So it's like, you know,
I was there when I went to the playoffs last year. Me and my dad went down to where he got shot and stuff.
Yeah.
And the whole thing about part of the conspiracy is there's no way he could make that shot. But if you stand there and look, it's really not that far. Like I was standing there and I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. I could see how somebody could make that shot.
Yeah.
It's not that far at all, but all right, well, now we're getting in the details of it, but I
guess that's the same as 9/11. I could see there's, right. that people know more about 9/11 than they've ever told about, but that might be security or, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, I don't know. I mean, what were all the conspiracy? There was what? So it was an inside job for some reason so that we could attack and get oil.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that didn't really happen though. Right. Like
we got in a war, but I don't know if we got oil or not.
Well, we were in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Iraq.
Yeah. But the point was, where should we have gone? And then we went to the other place too. What was it? It was like
Yemen or
logically we would have gone here, but we ended up
or Pakistan in other or places like too
or something. That was part of the conspiracy, I think.
I mean, it's kind of goofy to think George W. knew it was going to happen. Like, that's crazy. Right. You look at that guy.
It's.
I mean, you just look at him. You don't think, oh yeah, that guy knew 9/11.
That's why everybody says it's Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can believe that, maybe. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Maybe I can believe that. So they left George out of it.
Did you see the Christian Bale movie about Dick Cheney?
Yeah, oh, it was so good.
What was it called? Was it called Dick?
Vice.
Vice. I loved it.
Yeah, it was the same guy who made The Big Short.
Whoever that guy is, the way he makes those movies, just
Adam McKay.
It's so great.
That's Adam McKay. Yeah, well, he's a genius, that guy, then.
I mean, the way he does movies, totally.
But he does comedy. I would be so bored otherwise. He did Succession.
Yeah, and did he do The Hangover? Was that him?
Or he's the executive on Succession, but Succession is one of the greatest shows.
He does Succession?
I think that's his production company did that movie, I think.
It is, because he cast people that he uses in his movies.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. I mean.
Oh, he did like Step Brothers and Anchorman. He did Anchorman.
That's what I'm saying. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to shift the genre and do whatever works. Talladega Nights.
And how he can do that with Big Short and Vice. That's crazy.
Yeah. Awesome.
Wow. Yeah. That's something there.
And he ain't no flashy celebrity either. He's quiet. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
So that guy's good. Somebody should check him out.
Who do you think, I'll take it a little different direction, but I was thinking about this the other day as far as movie genres and directors who have done all different kinds of movies. I think John Favreau's up there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you go from Swingers, cool Swingers to Iron Man to those kind of movies. I mean.
He did Chef.
That's Chef. Cool, I mean, that was a good movie.
That was a great movie.
You know, I mean, he's up there now for sure, right?
Yeah.
And Mandalorian.
Mandalorian,
that kind of thing. But so those guys like that, I think, are the evolution of big studio stuff. Like these guys have they're like indie rock, Judd Apatow. Like they come, they bring their whole aesthetic and style to the medium. Like Quentin Tarantino, he brought a thing that he already knew and understood into the medium. And that's better than a bunch of execs could have taken submissions for scripts to find, because that's the same old, same old. So it's like narrow.
Todd Phillips did Old School, I think, and then he also did Joker. Right? Maybe he did Hangover or something. But
But they know something about the relationship of comedy and drama and how it's really the same thing, for instance.
Right.
And they know something about characters that make them work or what acting really, like, they know something, some trick or secret or just something that comes automatic to them, and it's a whole, I don't know, but they're able to do it in different, the same, somehow it's the same thing in different ways, but it's hard to figure out what that formula, I don't know if it's a formula or what, but that's, I love Succession. That is just the best show. I don't know if everybody else does, but I just thought that show was so,
I've seen some of it,
strong.
Yeah, I watched some of it. It didn't hook me for some reason, but maybe I don't know.
The first two episodes are a little slow, but you just have to get there, and then it's just unreal.
Yeah, I'm just in the power dynamic struggle. I just ride the wave. I feel it. So it feels so just how it is, and I'm just ride that wave. I love it. So uncomfortable at all times. I mean, isn't that weird that the media that people like the most, it is uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's just, why would, if we aren't we all stressed and anxiety?
Suspense.
And we
want things that,
and you just want to watch a Ben Stiller movie or the movie where it's, oh my gosh, that's so embarrassing. What's happening right now? Oh my gosh, it was so good. Why? It's like a scary movie, I guess. Like, I was terrified. It was great.
I just finished Breaking Bad again for probably the third or fourth time. And there's just some things in there. You can't believe why anybody would watch it. It's so terrible.
Yeah.
Is it like because you can put it down? Like you get to feel terrible and put it down or something and come back from
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I guess. I don't know. I can't. Like the episode I watched two nights is like the next to last episode or something. And they go shoot Jesse Pinkman's girlfriend in the back of the head. Like just to like they just show that. Like to get yeah. him to keep cooking meth for them or something. And it made me feel sick. And I'm like, why am I watching this?
I've never seen it.
Yeah, Toby's never seen it.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not going to remember that.
No, I can't remember anything.
Toby, you should watch it. I mean, it is just
he
great.
Can't get past it. I think at this point, he's going against it. Like, he's not going to watch it.
It just doesn't seem like anything.
But it's not hip. It's not like a hip show you need to watch. It's like, you know.
No, but
I feel
now
like Toby rejects whatever it is perceived to be cool or something like that.
Yeah.
There's a point in time where you get, you know, to the like this long he hasn't seen it, he's not going to watch it.
I've been flying under the radar trying to not get asked if I've watched Tiger King yet. It was the beginning of the pandemic. Everybody freaked out. Toby's tells, "Oh, you gotta watch it." It's like, okay. Everybody's just like, "I'm gonna try to get away with I'm not." There.
You missed
that's
out.
Funny.
I want to watch. I'll watch that again. I love.
Yeah, Toby's
that.
Probably God, more entertained by that.
Oh man, it's so good. That, I don't know. That's real.
Yeah,
that's real shit, man.
I watched the first season of True Detective again, and man, God,
that's so good.
That's like good. Up there for me. I mean, that's like Breaking Bad level. You know what I mean? That one season, obviously, you can't sustain. The second season was awful.
Season three was good, though.
Season three was good. But that first one, man, that's something else.
What's the best ever seasons? A show.
The best season? Show? Not the best show, the best season.
Oh, it could be the best season. Well, best season ever might would be True Detective, that first one. That's
you couldn't believe how good of a show it was.
I know. Like I just couldn't everything about it. But what I'm saying, what show like had several seasons was the best? Because it could have been a sitcom, it could have been something like Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying like the most consecutive best seasons. I guess that's too big of a question.
I advocate for The Wire a lot, which is what a lot of people do.
You'd say that's better than Seinfeld? Because first you...
Oh, shit!
I think... Is it season three or four of Seinfeld that's the best?
Four is when it, like, took
four
off.
Is everything, right?
Four is when it got, like, mega famous. But, season three, they really start to figure some shit out.
Yeah.
Like season two, you have a few cool episodes, like the Chinese restaurant and the parking garage and stuff like that. Like some like real, it's like almost like art. Like season two, it's like they were doing art or something like that. You know, like art comedy episodes, stuff that never been done before. But when they got to season four, they did it got super meta where they did the storyline was Jerry and George doing a show about nothing.
Right.
Oh, right, right.
That was that whole season arc. So, I guess Seinfeld. I don't know Seinfeld. Man, yeah, I guess it might be the best. But
Matt still says Sopranos, right?
Well, Sopranos? I credit Sopranos as the best, most important show for really setting a new tone for the era of TV, like what you can do with that.
They definitely did,
and I mean, I love the show, but I'm not. I don't know how to judge at the top, but. When it came and what it was able to do gave everybody a lot more to go try to do after that.
What's funny, Toby won't watch Breaking Bad. I didn't start Sopranos till last year.
Wow. Yeah.
I've never really seen Sopranos. I've never seen it.
It's great.
But it probably holds seasons. Up, right? I mean, I hadn't seen it in a long time, but
it definitely holds up.
Yeah. Maybe I'll try and give it a shot. I never got into it. The show that I watched and there was only one bad season, but it got me, and I teared up at the very end with Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, yes. That one bad season, but it finished
that one where he had
so
to go to Ireland
damn
and fight,
strong.
Had to fight Ireland gangs. Yeah. That was pretty stupid. But other than that, I didn't know because I was watching it consecutively. I didn't know the last season was the final season. So I was caught completely off guard with some of the the people that died in it and all that. And I was like... I thought I had another season or two.
I need to watch that.
But see, that show is Sopranos on bikes.
Is it? That's what that is.
Yeah.
It's to me, it's just like, yeah. Oh, but I loved it. But Sopranos gave that show its life. It
yeah,
just
you'd like
that.
Sons of Anarchy, Devin. You,
that, yeah, I know I would. I just never got into it much.
Yeah.
I'll tell y'all a weird. So I have a strange, you know that show, My Strange Addiction?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I have a strange addiction. Every night for years, I fall asleep to The West Wing.
Every
night. Every night what? For I
what put, do you mean?
I put it on my phone and leave it playing.
Oh boy.
All night.
All night?
All
what do you mean?
Night. What?
All night.
I feel very vulnerable right
you
now.
Should. You should.
Yeah, you're about to be in big trouble. Keep going. God.
This is weird, Aaron.
Okay, let's
I
just
feel like I've
details.
Been lied to. Hey, when you toured with us, you did this.
You did that on tour.
Yes!
You motherfucker, you did it on our tour bus.
Yes. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I have on tour with y'all. I have done that. Oh I've done God. That.
I'd rather you jack your dick off in the bunk right above me than do that. Well,
okay,
shit.
So right, you put it on and watch it. You put headphones in. Like I listen to a podcast to go to sleep. That's fine.
Okay. Most of the time, no headphones.
No headphones?
What?
Listen.
With Cassie in your bed?
Yeah.
You make Cassie right, listen to it?
I don't understand. I'm getting lost. All right.
I'm losing it.
I'm losing
right. traction. I'm floating
I'm
away.
Getting mad. I'm getting mad.
I'm floating backward now from reality.
Let's start from oh, man. I'm feeling weird right now. I wish I'd have brought this up, I guess, now. I love The West Wing, the show. I've watched it a bunch, for real. Mm-hmm. There might be something real wrong with me, I guess. Now,
not necessarily, but you sum it up this way? Is The West Wing your binky?
Wait, is that like a blanket? Yes. Yes, it is. It kind of is.
So if we said, Aaron, we will give you $10,000 if you go to sleep without watching West Wing tonight, could you do it?
What is the value?
Well, tonight, yeah, yeah. Oh, of course.
But
yeah,
I mean, would you have trouble falling asleep?
Well, I just put The Office on or something.
No, no, no. I'd say no TV, no phone.
Oh,
but
no,
I'm saying,
nothing.
It wouldn't bother you if you were unable to, there's a dead battery, or you had to go office or something. You wouldn't be, that wouldn't panic you.
No, I mean, I just like to have noise or something, you know? So I do like a noise machine or a fan.
Is it more of a routine? And your argument is this not a compulsion, but it is a routine.
It is definitely a routine and maybe an addict. I don't know. It might be categorized.
So when you wake up in the middle of the night and it's still going,
hold on.
What do you do? You just go back to sleep?
Hold on.
You don't push stop and take your headphones out.
No, it's not in my headphones. It's worse than that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's not even in your headphones. You're blaring it with your wife beside you in bed.
It's worse than what you're saying right now.
How loud is the volume? How loud is the volume?
It's on one.
No, surely not.
It's not on one.
It's like maybe you could barely hear it, and it's not a big deal. And there's a noise.
Are we getting up into the five range volume?
Yeah, we're definitely.
He's got a Bluetooth to his JBL long speaker in front of the
foot of the bed.
Listen, Cassie's never watched The West Wing, and she knows about the characters. She's never watched it, and she knows about the characters. Listen, I don't. Not only do I not wake up and stop it. Netflix, what it'll do or whatever that, you know, sometimes it'll be like, are you still watching?
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
If I wake up and it's off, I turn it back on.
Oh my God.
This is serious.
What?
It's wild shit, huh? Y'all can't believe it.
No, I actually can't.
Why? I'm not exaggerating at all.
You don't want variety though? Why wouldn't it be like sometimes it's this, sometimes it's this?
No, there's something about it. Like I couldn't do like Seinfeld or something. That'd be too funny.
Well, you know, to find out whether it's okay or disordered, the deeper probes are there negative consequences in your life? Do you wish to change and are unable to?
I don't know. I mean, Cassie sometimes gets
is it
kind of
working
annoyed.
For you all? I mean, you know.
No. I mean, Cassie, we would go to bed and she'd be okay with the TV was on to go to sleep. And that doesn't bother her. She likes having the TV on or something like that. So, but there's something weird about it, and I don't know quite.
It's like a mole that you keep your eye on. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, how? Okay, so
she can hear it.
How does it ever come up in a conversation? Does it ever come up? Does Cassie say? Has she ever said to you, Aaron? Could you turn that down or not watch that tonight?
No, she'll tell me to turn it down.
But
can we not watch?
I mean, if I was married to a person that did that every night for over a year, I would ask them, can you not do that tonight at some point?
But Devin, you and Megan sleep with a sound machine and travel with it, a physical sound machine, in a way that you would not. Like, it is always going to be packed. Oh, and you will have it.
Megan, no matter what.
Sure.
Bring it with you.
Not and me. It's, and it's a physical. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Megan, but I do my phone. I do the app.
Yes. So yeah, is that way different?
I guess not. I mean, it's way more just a neutral sound, but I guess at this point in Aaron's life, West Wing is pretty neutral.
It's working for you.
It's brown noise at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
If y'all had a go-to TV show you had to sleep to every night, what would y'all's be? Mine will be MTV's Next. I do Fear Factor.
Yeah, one of those.
So you listen to Joe Rogan all day and then you sleep to Joe Rogan at night.
Yep.
Mine might be something nostalgic, like that reminds me of falling asleep on the couch when I was a kid to like Sanford and Son or something.
Ooh,
like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? That was on channel 46 back then.
Oh, or a marathon of Girls Gone Wild commercials. Yeah.
Yeah. I would probably go Star Trek. Bridget does that already. She always puts on like a Star Trek at night is her thing. And
she does the same thing as Lunsford?
Well, you know.
Does she do the same thing as Lunsford? Just yes or no?
For 22 minutes before she goes to sleep, yes.
But every night?
Yeah. But she
for how many years?
Well, sometimes she can be in a different cycle where she's on X-Files or something, but Star Trek's basically the go-to. Sometimes there may be a time where it's an Office, but there's a whatever she's doing, and it's most often Star Trek. Yeah. It's obligatory, like not very focused. You put it on and go to sleep, and then wake up and cut it off or whatever. But you know that's pretty reasonable. But to always do it, always the same show. And then to turn it back on if it's off is where it starts to sound a little bit funny. It would only be funnier if it was only one episode that you did it with. That would be the next level of weird.
Yeah. Well, I do, depending on my cycle, once we get past season four, I usually, there's seven seasons. And when we get through season four, I usually go back to one. Every fourth or fifth time, I'll let it play all the way through.
That's funny.
I'm going to scare Jess. I'm just going to, like, after she falls asleep, just turn on and leave on, like, Unsolved Mysteries or
Unsolved Mysteries,
To Catch a Predator.
Well, that's anyway, if time's up here, I didn't get to weigh in on the best TV show season of all time.
What was it?
What is it?
Season 2 of Rescue 911.
God, that was such a good show.
Did y'all watch Cops and stuff like that?
Yeah, I did.
It was good.
And we don't have to continue this necessarily, but I was going to say, what would you say would be the best like 90s like family show? I mean, would you say Fresh Prince?
Full House was great. Fresh Prince was so good.
I mean, I really liked the older ones, like Family Ties and Cheers, but I didn't get them as much. I watched 90s, it's funny. I just watched a show about a bar with my dad. You know what I mean? Like I just watched that.
Yeah. A lot of people weren't allowed to watch it where I come from.
Right.
You know, a lot of times it's like you would say it at a friend's house and they'd say, we don't watch that.
Can't watch Cheers.
We don't watch that stuff. You know.
I mean, it did feel like, I remember my parents watched it and it always felt like an adult show when it was coming on. Like, I had to go away or something like that.
Do you remember how good and real Roseanne was?
Yeah.
I mean, Roseanne was phenomenal TV show.
Yeah, that's 90s all day.
I mean, it really like broke barriers and everything. Like, I mean, it was phenomenal. I mean, the acting is unreal. I mean, it's so good.
Yeah,
I mean,
that was like the first big, like, real outgoing wife character on TV right. like that, right? I mean, was
after Peggy Bundy.
Yeah, I guess Peggy Bundy was there. But Roseanne was like took it to the next level. You know what I mean? Like yeah. she was the Dan was the secondary guy. Mm-hmm. You know, right. she was it.
I remember thinking John Goodman in that show. I was like, oh, this guy is like old and about to die or something.
I know.
And like now it's like he's still just in movies that are really good.
I know.
Oh, yeah, he was great. Like,
all right.
Okay, well, that was fun.
Matt and Toby.